Our Bible reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1, right into chapter 3. It is found on page 1198 in the Pew Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. Why don't we all say this together? Verse 11. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Verse 14, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of God. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Hilletus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of others. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil he has taken captive to do his will. Chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people.
All right. Well, if you've got your Bibles or your phones, open there to 2 Timothy. Keep them handy. And today's a little bit different. So we were working through the book of Judges. We normally kind of work our way through a section of the Bible week by week. But this week we're pausing to think about motherhood, a holy calling. Why don't we pray and ask God for his help? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth and light, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training for righteousness, so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord, we pray this morning that we would be encouraged, we'd be built up, and that we'd all go away more appreciative and joyful at the grace that you have shown to us. Amen. Well, exciting career, hard-working, disciplined, self-motivated, and long-suffering applicants wanted for this lifelong career. There are no set hours, it's on call 24/7. It combines teaching, HR, finance, cleaning, counselling, mediation, transport, catering, admin, research, and management roles. It's not for the faint-hearted. And people seeking wealth, status, or positive affirmation need not apply. What career am I talking about? What was it? Oh, come on, you can do better. Mothers! No. It's being a church pastor. The paragraph that Shane just read for us outlines the goal and the role of a church pastor. But Shane actually thought I had the wrong passage last week. He came and bailed me up, said, what are you looking at this for on Mother's Day? But it's interesting, isn't it? That little exercise was to show that actually the role of a mother and the role of a pastor are quite similar within their respective spheres. See, much of these instructions for pastors actually directly apply to mothers. Like being a soldier, a professional athlete, or a farmer mentioned in those first few verses, both pastoring and mothering are vocations that invade every part of your life. They're both messy and demanding, they're both incredibly diverse, and they're both undervalued in the world that we live in. But actually, the similarities go a lot deeper. Because at the heart, both pastoring and mothering share the same goal: to lead the people in their care to Jesus. To lead the people in their care to Jesus. It's a tough gig, but it is a holy calling. If you've got your outlines there in your sheets, you can follow along. Point two. Well, a mother's goal is not just to bring children into the world or even to bring them to adulthood unscathed, but a mother's role is to bring those children to Jesus. Have a look at verse 10. Therefore, says Paul, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 25. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil. See, if a pastor, Paul, can hope for his opponents that they repent and receive salvation, then surely a mother can hope that for her children too. We're just, I don't know if you've followed the floods in Brazil at the moment, but just yesterday, the kids and Keely and I watched some footage of a woman trapped on the roof of a house that was completely surrounded by water, a rescue worker came down on a cable from a helicopter and she handed the rescue worker her baby. Got the photo up there. Now, in that moment, I don't imagine that she would have been too worried about whether she'd played enough classical music to the child so far in their life, or whether they'd given quite the right introduction of solid foods. Or I think at that moment, that mother had a much bigger concern. And this child was obviously too young to understand, but I imagine if the child was a little bit older, as soon as the mother could see the helicopter coming, I'm sure she would have started to prepare the child for what was about to happen. Look, that helicopter's coming over, a man is coming to rescue you. You need to trust him. Don't fight him, don't try and get away. You're going to have to let go of me, and he will take you up to safety. Now, the message that every child and every human being needs to hear is essentially the same as that message. Jesus has come to rescue you. You need to trust him. Don't fight him. He will hold on to you and he will bring you to safety. That's the gospel, isn't it? See, when God wrote a job description for mothers, it included all the things that I think most average mothers would say are their role. It includes physical, relational, emotional, even intellectual nurturing. Mothering includes all those things. Care for the physical needs and the emotional needs and the relational needs and the intellectual needs. These are all critical and essential, and they're beautiful, aren't they? When you see a mother meeting their child's needs in these ways. But the heart of mothering is actually spiritual nurturing. Because the goal of mothering is not a healthy, well-adjusted adult. It's not an adult who has fond memories of being a child. It is someone who has been saved because they've put their faith in Jesus. That is the goal of mothering. See, a mother must do whatever she can to help prepare her kids for the transition from home to the world. But even more, mother must do whatever she can to prepare her kids from a transition from this world to the next. A mother needs to prepare her children to meet the trials and challenges of life, but also to prepare her children to meet their Maker. See, at the heart of being a mother is the need to teach our kids that the only way to have life is to cling to Jesus. That giving up on following Jesus, verse 10, giving up on life, even though we fail and we're unfaithful to him, he is faithful to us. Because we're saved by what he has done, by his goodness, not ours. Have a look at verse 11. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, that means if our faith is in his death for us, then he really did die in our place. If we died with him, we give up our lives to surrender them to him, we also will live with him. If we endure, we also will reign with him. And if we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Mother's goal is to do whatever she can to lead her children to Jesus so they can find salvation, for he is faithful. Now, before we get to the more practical, what that looks like, I just want to say a few things. This is not just a mother's goal, is it? It's not just a mother's responsibility. Actually, the goal to lead people to Christ, to lead people to salvation, is a goal that every single Christian shares. It's a goal that mothers share with fathers and uncles and cousins and friends and neighbours and every other believer on the planet. God's goal for fathers is how much more must fathers take the lead and the responsibility for the spiritual welfare of their children? No mum within God's church should ever be alone in this responsibility, should ever be alone in the goal to lead her children to know Jesus. We should all be praying for all the kids, all the youth, all the young people in our church, in our community. We should all be encouraging the mums, should be encouraging those who are working hard to honour Christ, to teach their kids the gospel. We should encourage those who don't perhaps know how, who maybe never had it modelled. We can lead. We can, in the way that we do things, we can, if you're a mother with some experience, you can grab a younger mum. You can ask how they're going. You can see how you can encourage and help. And actually, we can all get involved here at church. We can chat to the kids after kids' church and see what they've learned and help them celebrate how great Jesus is. We can all serve. It shouldn't just be mums who are teaching kids' church and creche. We should equip and encourage and support the mums in our church. It is a shared responsibility, but as a mum, it is obviously a particular responsibility for particular relationships. And in our society, motherhood really is under attack, isn't it? I don't know if you've seen much lately. I just read a whole bunch of articles this past 2 weeks, and it's amazing how many articles are just open warfare against women choosing to be mothers. People saying, actually, you're being irresponsible to the whole female sex by becoming a mother. You should be in the workplace. You should be getting the top jobs. You should be showing the men who's boss. And if you're a mum, I'm sure you've felt some of that attack in subtle ways. I'm sure in some ways you've felt, maybe I am wasting my time. Maybe I should be going doing something that's more meaningful. Maybe people have made derogatory comments to you about how you're wasting your life or whatever. I want to encourage and remind you this morning how holy a calling it is to be a Christian mum, to lead your kids to Jesus. And I think there's probably more of us in the room who are not mums. Some of us perhaps desperately have wanted to be mums. Maybe some of us were, and our kids are not with us anymore. Mother's Day can be incredibly painful. People can say unthoughtful things. Mums can say unthoughtful things and that can really hurt. We can be tempted to become bitter towards them, to be ungracious, maybe to be angry, maybe to sort of close ourselves off. And it's a very particular kind of pain and suffering, isn't it? And yet it's a suffering that Christ is with us in. I want to encourage you to remember his grace to you. And though you may not be a physical mother, actually there are many ways you can be a mother figure. Many ways you can love and care for and appropriately point kids to Jesus. And fathers, even many working mothers spend more time in the home and less hours in paid employment than their husbands. And if you're all at all as foolish and selfish as me, there might be times, husbands, when you've thought, you've got the easy job. You just do a bit of washing, you make a little bit of food, and you look after the kids. How foolish. It's not an easy job. And actually, a godly mother will put aside the less important things, i.e. the housework, to focus on the most important thing as the need arises. To discipline their child in a godly way that shows them the grace of the gospel. To stop and spend time pointing their child to Jesus. And it's probably bugging them more than you that the washing's piling up in the corner. If you're a husband, a father, can I encourage you? Encourage your wife as a godly mother. Give her the space to be that. And don't abdicate your responsibility as a father. It's so easy, isn't it? So easy to come home exhausted from work and think we've done our dash and to flop on the couch or whatever it be. Go out to the garage, mow the lawn. Actually, the surest way to discourage your wife as a mother is not to take your responsibility seriously as the spiritual head of the house with the primary responsibility to nurture and nourish and lead your family to Jesus. And if you're a mother or think you might be one day, and maybe you're thinking that the weightiness and the holiness of the task of being a mother, maybe you feel like that's just too heavy to bear. It's too big. It's too hard. Maybe you feel kind of unqualified and inadequate. Well, actually, we're all weak and imperfect, and that's the saving grace of motherhood. Point three. See, the saving grace of motherhood is that it's all about grace. Have a look at verse 24. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Now notice what this verse doesn't say. Have a listen and scan along as I read. This is what it doesn't say. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed. Then God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, because they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive. See, what does this passage not say? It does not say, if you perfectly are kind, teach well, never get resentful, and you always instruct gently, then your kids will. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, if you're a perfect mother, if you are perfect parents, then your kids will be saved. It doesn't say that. If we had to be flawless parents for our kids to be saved, there wouldn't be a single Christian in this room. See, it's not on our perfection but on God's grace. Have a look, verse 25. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant, will give them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. See, it's God who brings repentance. It's God who gives salvation by giving his grace. And you know, there's no freer way to be a mum than to be a mum who leads her kids to Christ, knowing at the end of the day it's not up to her, but she's entrusted them to God, the Father who loves and cares for them. There is no freer, less burdened way to be a mum than to know we do it in his grace. That his grace covers all of our failures, all of our sins, all the times when we are harsh, when we are resentful, when we're not kind, when we're not gentle. There's no freer way to be a mum than to be a mum in God's grace. We work hard to be good and godly parents because of his grace. We lead our children to his grace. We have our failures forgiven by his grace, and we trust our kids to his grace. Have a look at verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, when you're on an airline, I don't know, has anyone ever been on an airline when the masks have actually sort of deployed? Ooh, I want to hear that story later. We're all going to come and hunt you down, Stuart, for your story. Now, you know when they do the kind of the pre-flight thing they say, look, if you've got minors with you, if you've got children with you, make sure you fit your own mask first so you don't pass out before you put theirs on. You know, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You know, you put your own mask on, not because you don't care about them, but because if you've blacked out, you're not going to help them at all. See, mothers who are passed out because they don't have their own oxygen on can't help their kids. And mothers who have not received grace from the Lord Jesus Christ and from our Father can't really be givers of grace. But mothers who have received his grace will give his grace. Mothers who live under law and guilt will naturally dish out law and guilt. But if you know the gift and the freedom and the joy of God's grace to you, a sinner, then you'll be able to give grace to your children. Verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. The deeper you send your roots down, mums, into God's grace, the more you remind yourself of the joy of your salvation that he has given you a sinner, the more gentle and patient and gracious you will be able to be to your children. And in case you hadn't noticed, that's not just true for mums and kids. That's true for all of us, isn't it? So looking back at verses 23 to 25, you know, don't get into foolish arguments. Be kind. Don't be resentful. Be gentle. I mean, it's so easy to fall into these, isn't it? So easy to fall into arguments, to snappiness. So easy actually to resent the hardness of raising kids. Well, it is when we've forgotten God's grace. It is when we've forgotten that actually we are absolutely every bit as stubborn and sinful and foolish as they are, maybe even a little more. It's easy to do that when we've forgotten that we have received God's kind and undeserved favour and mercy. I don't know if you catch kind of, I don't know, do you talk to yourself in your head? I'm always talking to myself in my head. And I often catch myself thinking things like, my kids will be doing something, I'm thinking, yeah, why? What's wrong with you? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Like, you know it's wrong. You know what's going to happen. The same thing has happened every other time. You know, why can't you just do the right thing so I don't have to discipline you? Do you know how annoying this is for me? You know, everything was really nice a minute ago. And I catch myself saying this, and I hear myself in my head, and I go, actually, that's exactly who you are and how I relate to God. I know what's wrong, and yet I do it. I know where it leads, and yet I do it again. See, we can see their sin as a problem for our parenting, can't we? They do something wrong, and that becomes a problem. A problem for the nice day we were having, a problem for everything was fine. But the problem it is, the only problem it is it's a problem for our illusion of what was fine. Because they're still human beings that need to learn God's grace and need God's grace and forgiveness every day. Their sin is actually an opportunity to teach them the grace of the gospel. And you know, when we become harsh and attacking, we actually undermine the gospel that we share. Because when we say God's gracious and we don't show it, it's like we're saying he's not. When we say God accepts us, even though we're sinful and we mess up, but we act like we expect them to be perfect, we're actually sending mixed signals. But when we come reminding ourselves of God's grace, we do come gently. Like Jesus with the woman caught in adultery. Like with so many. And it's amazing, isn't it, how much more powerful grace is to actually affect behavior than law and shame and guilt. So often we focus on the externals, the behavior, and not the heart. But have a look at chapter 3, verse 1. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Now you might be tempted to think of your kids here, but this is kids and us. This is every person on the planet. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Here's the kicker. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. See, it's very possible for us as Christian parents to raise kids who have a form of godliness, who on the outside look godly, and yet on the inside are all those things. We can focus on the behavior and not teach them grace, and not point them to Jesus, not come alongside them and say, I am just like you. But look, Jesus forgives us. Why don't we go to him now? Mothers, I encourage you to lead your children to Jesus by teaching the gospel of grace in what you say and what you do. First, send your roots deep into the gospel so his grace will transform and flow out of you. But what have we looked at this morning? First, mothering, it is a tough gig. It's a tough gig, but it is a holy calling. And the saving grace of being a mother is it's all about God's never-ending grace. Maybe if you are a mother here today, or a father, or a friend, or a son, or a daughter, or a sibling, maybe you know you've been missing the mark. Maybe that weight feels crushing on you. Maybe in some circumstances that relationship there is not the opportunity to try and make amends. But you can bring that weight to Jesus right now and have it lifted off by his grace that forgives us and covers us and washes us clean. You can have that grace transform you so that we do love, we do show grace, we do show kindness and gentleness, so that we don't resent the relationships God has given us. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your incredible grace to us. We pray that you would have grace on each one of us here this morning. We ask particularly this morning for all the mothers among us. We pray that they would come to you with any guilt, any shame, any weight, any failure, and they would come and lay it at the cross, knowing that you forgive completely all who trust in Christ. We pray that anyone carrying hurt and grief and loss, maybe even a bit of bitterness or anger, maybe because they weren't able to be a mother, maybe because they were and their child was snatched away, maybe because their own mother was cruel, maybe because they miss the mother they loved. Lord, we pray that each one of us would be able to bring this to you, to the foot of the cross, and that your grace to us would flow out of us in grace to others. They would know the freedom, and that we would know that the suffering that you put us through is for our good, and that in the midst of our suffering, we would be able to show grace to others, particularly those suffering around us. And Lord, we pray for each one of us. We pray for the children and the youth and the young people of our church. Lord, we long that every single one of them would come to faith and repentance and salvation. And Lord, we pray that every single one of us would take responsibility as a church, as a family, to do everything we can in our power to give them every opportunity to respond to the gospel of Christ. Amen.